So, Graham talks Pats. The Patriots are days away from their 12th Super Bowl appearance in franchise history. I feel like I say this every week. every week I talk about how improbable this game, this run has been. But I think you can go back and truly say, I think for me anyway, win or lose this Super Bowl, to this point, I think it's arguably, it's no doubt it's been the most enjoyable season post-Brady. Although, honestly, I actually thought the Cam year was kind of fun just because it was so different. And I also thought, and there's also a lot of hype at that point because they would have money to spend in the offseason. And then also the Mac Jones first year was also pretty fun. But this is, I think, everyone can agree, this is the most entertaining year post-Brady without a doubt. I think there's an argument this is the most entertaining season since, I think this is arguably the most entertaining season of Patriots football I've watched, I think. I mean, it's just been, I understand, you know, the cast of characters has been not the players that you would have thought, which to me is what's made it more fun. And I also understand that, you know, the competition hasn't been elite, right? That's none of that stuff. All that stuff goes without saying, right? None of that's a surprise. But I think you look at, you know, just all around, I think, this is without a doubt, you know, I think just the improbability and the lack of expectations going in made this such a fun season for me. Especially, you know, this being the first season that I had covered the team article-wise through Fansided. You know, I'd been doing, it's the first full season I've done with Daily Campus. It's the first time I've had a podcast to talk about this season. So it's been really, really cool to have the opportunity to, you know, look at a lot of these games and really analyze them super critically and have a lot of different methods to do that. So it's been really fun to you know, be able to have, you know, that sort of ability. I'd also say, I mean, beyond like the Drake May, Christian Gonzalez guys who, you know, were expected, maybe, you know, I don't think anyone expected Drake May to be, you know, one of the best players in football this year, but I think the expectation was this guy's your franchise guy. But even beyond these guys who are like supposed to be these elite players, like you've had like guys like Corey Durden, Kalavon Chaisson, who, you know, you never know, they could be gone. And Kalavon Chaisson's a free agent, even though we'll get into him in a minute too, because he had a quote talking about how he wants to come back. Guys like Corey Durden, Del Pattis, who've played like real roles, whether it be defensively on special teams, on offense. You see guys like Kayshon Booty having crazy breakouts. You know, it's just been really, really fun to watch these guys just take it to the next level and really, really be super productive players in New England. So without further ado, I think we can get into a little bit more Super Bowl talk this week. I kind of held off on a little bit of the Super Bowl talk last week. I talked about it a little bit. Me and Thad talked about it a little bit. But we talked about how kind of how it was a little bit early last week to go over all this stuff. I think it's just a matter of getting a little bit closer to the actual game and seeing the injury reports then. Excuse me. But you know, I think, you know, a couple days ago there was the big piece of news on Friday that Drake made in practice. The right shoulder, the illness stuff, there's no, you know, doubt in anyone's mind that Drake May will play. And I don't think I'll have much trouble health-wise either. I don't think there should be much worrying about that. He did say that once he threw in Santa Clara today and over the weekend a little bit, it seemed like he felt a lot better. The DNPs from Friday, looking at it, the two guys that I'd be a little bit more concerned about would be Robert Spillane and Harold Landry. Robert Spillane, if you remember, was dealing with an injury towards the end of the season. Harold Landry's been dealing with an injury for most of the playoffs, and that hasn't looked great, I don't think. He did make a thing that he did make a statement that he where he said, you know, something along the lines of, you know, the plan is to play Sunday or something like that. I'm going to sip some water here. Man, this throat's killing me. But yeah, I think you look at the team and you say, all right, you know, if we don't have Harold Landry, where are we getting production out of? And you got to look towards Caleb Onchaison, like we were talking about, who seems to want to come back. You're looking at, you know, you're looking at Elijah Pond, who's had a couple of sacks this year. You're looking at maybe Anthony Jennings taking a step up. You potentially could be looking at Braden Swinson becoming an active participant on defense. Yeah, but I think replacing Landry is a lot easier than replacing Spillane is. When it comes to replacing Spillane, I think it's just a lot harder. I don't think you have the horses at linebacker right now outside of Spillane to be that great. You know, I think Christian Ellis is a good athlete. I like the way he hits. Really, really poor in coverage. Not to say Spillane is any better than Ellis is in coverage, but Ellis really struggles, you know, when he has to get in space and cover. Same deal with Jack Gibbons. I like Gibbons. I like Tavai too. I just don't like them as, you know, guys who have to play, you know, 50 plus snaps for you routinely. I think just given the nature of the game, I think it would take a lot for any of these guys to actually not play. The two pieces of info that I think are kind of interesting, Terrell Jennings looked like he was, you know, one of those guys that was set to be taken off IR over the past couple weeks and then didn't play with a hamstring injury on Friday. He was their third running back for, you know, the middle third of the season, you know, after Antonio Gibson went down. And then he was placed on IR with a concussion, didn't come back for a while, and then had some other injuries on top of that too. So Jennings, that makes me think he's probably not going to be active for the Super Bowl, but, you know, I don't think it's impossible. Josh Farmer, though, full participant. I think the fact they put Eric Gregory on IR after the game against the Broncos, or right before the game against the Broncos, I think it was, makes me think there's a shot Josh Farmer's back. They also do seem to like Leonard Taylor a lot. Obviously, he had the field goal block, so even aside from that, I do think they have some faith in him. So I don't know. I think you have a lot of depth at D tackle. I think Farmer's probably your best player on IR right now. But I think Jennings, I mean, the Patriots currently officially roster two running backs in Henderson and Stevenson, but you may just say, hey, Jennings, even though he's not as good as Farmer necessarily, you say, we like his short yardage ability. We like maybe his kick return ability more than Dearness Johnson's. If he's ready, he's going to get elevated. So that's a real possibility, I think. Another piece of really good news that we heard earlier this week was that defensive coordinator Terrell Williams, not Zach Kerr is the inside linebackers coach, who's been the acting defensive coordinator. Terrell Williams is officially cancer-free. So that was huge. He was diagnosed with prostate cancer in September, now officially cancer-free, which is huge for New England. I'll be curious. I would imagine that Zach Kerr's probably going to retain those duties as the defensive coordinator. I'd be curious. Maybe I missed something on that. But I don't think you want to switch something up right before the Super Bowl like that. I'd imagine that Terrell Williams is more of either a co-defensive coordinator with Zach Kerr or is kind of a special advisor slash assistant to Vrabel and Kerr just for this game. He's making the trip to San Francisco. I don't know how much involvement he'll have in the actual game plan and whatnot. But yeah, it's been good news that's the case. They found out, it said, before their matchup against Houston. So that's huge news. But then obviously, you know, just came out a couple days ago officially. So it's pretty great news. You know, obviously that's a scary thing to have to go through for Terrell Williams. So it's pretty awesome that they're in a spot where they can do that. So looking at they made an addition, Patrick Johnson, a couple days ago. They signed him, a 28-year-old former 7th-round pick by the Eagles in 2021 on Tulane. Has one career sack in 75 games. Basically just a special teamer to this point. They signed him to the practice squad. A lot of the guys that are late additions to the practice squad are more so guys that they're like, all right, we like the look of you going into next year. It could mean something along the lines of just saying, hey, that's the only guy who's a real edge defender on this roster. I'm not super familiar with Amari Gaynor. I know he was a UNC guy. I'm not sure if he's like a pass rushing sort of linebacker. I don't think he's played at all this season. 6'3", 232. It was a 4.6 40. Okay, it looks like he's maybe more of a true stand-up guy. So if that's really the case, let me fact-check myself here. So I don't want to be looking like an idiot. Stats. 0. I mean, he's basically just been a special teams guy in his career. Football NCAA. 2.5. Yeah, I mean, he's basically a real stand-up guy. Literally. He's more of a stand-up guy. You know, maybe bumps the outside a little bit. I'm not entirely sure. But regardless, you know, Patrick Johnson is one of the few guys that's, like, more of a true edge guy. So I guess in theory, if you're like, hey, we're not sure about the situation with Harold Landry, you just want to add another body in there, that could make some sense. Because along with the Eric Gregory move, I do think they made a couple other moves. Okay, maybe not. It was Eric Gregory just to IR with Mac Collins getting activated. So, yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, you look at the situation for New England and you say, I think you got to feel pretty good about it. You know, obviously having a big piece in Trell Williams from the coaching staff coming back, adding Patrick Johnson as a veteran and on the practice squad, we'll see. That seems, like I said before, a guy that, who, you know, might be coming back in 2026. And, you know, you've seen if you can work with a guy there. The release of Daryl Taylor was a little bit weird to me. That happened a while ago. That just didn't really make a ton of sense to me. I don't know why you'd release a guy who seemed like that was going to be a guy that, you know, they carried into next season, given the reports that Vrabel had talks with him in, you know, traditional free agency during the spring. So, that's a little bit of an interesting one to me. That seems like a guy that could have been your next Caleb Chaisson potentially. So that's kind of interesting. But, yeah, it is a little bit interesting. So I think we can probably move into the main talk, which is going to be the Super Bowl. So I haven't yet written my write-up on this, which is a surprise. Normally I would do my write-up on Tuesday and have it published for Wednesday, but I think it's going to be written probably Tuesday night, submitted on Wednesday for Thursday. I'm probably going to do that later tonight before I go to bed. So the write-up will be out, but it'll be out a little bit later this week. I got distracted with some other things. So when it comes to the Patriots' future in the Super Bowl, I think there's, you know, a couple moving pieces to that, right? Because you say, okay, the weather, we've talked about this, I do think is really going to benefit them. It's really going to benefit Drake May, who has played in 3 pretty bad weather games where the elements have, you know, really been pretty prevalent. And I think in order of best game to worst game, I think he's gotten worse each week. But the weather has also gotten worse each week. So that's kind of my cope to this point. Yeah, that's kind of my cope to this point. I think that beyond that, you know, I think, I don't know. I just, it's hard for me to believe that the Patriots are going to pull off some dominant victory. If they do, I think they're going to have to keep this low scoring. JSN has had 10 games with 100 or more yards. the Patriots have allowed three all year. So something's got to give. I'd be curious who – I'm going to try to think of this live. Who are the 300-yard receivers the Patriots allowed this season? It was Emeka Egbuka had it. That's a good pull. And then I'm trying to think who else had big game. Zay Flowers I don't think quite had 100 yards, even though he did play well. I'm also going to say – so I'm trying to think about the games they had losses in. Brock Bowers had 100 yards. And Kincaid, I think, had 100 yards. So I think it was two tight ends and Kincaid and Bowers. Kincaid out of the first time, I want to say. Bowers and then Egbuka. Which I can actually fact check myself on here. Egbuka, I know, had it. Kincaid is the only guy I'm not sure about. The second time he got strapped. Yeah, Kincaid had 108 yards against the Patriots the first time around. So those were the three guys that had 100-plus against the Patriots this year. Now, the Seahawks, looking at the Seahawks, we'll break this down, right? Position by position. Sam Darnold, to me, I think you just got to hope reverts back to the seeing ghosts thing. I don't think there's really a way New England stands much of a chance if he plays as well as he played against the Rams. I think the no Charbonnet is huge. And the reason I say that is because I think Kenneth Walker is a really, really elusive runner. I think he's a really good runner. But I think he's benefited a lot by not having to take those short yardage carries where, you know, a lot of these injuries happen. And instead now it's going to be he's going to be the primary back, obviously. George Halani had a decent amount of involvement in the NFC Championship. He also was a guy who they almost used as like a slot back. He wasn't quite a slot receiver because he wasn't that far out, but they were using him at like the like Army Navy sort of slot back position and putting him on a lot of block and release sort of check down. So he did have some decent involvement. He looked like a good receiver. Just probably not a guy that I look at and, you know, am super, you know, frightened by, especially because he's not much of a short yardage back. I would say that in the short yardage situations now, you're going to look for A.J. Barner to be, you know, running those tight end touch pushes. I think aside from, you know, from that, I think you're probably looking towards, you know, the receivers. Jackson Smith and Jigba was the league's best this year. He was a guy that back in 2023 I had as my sixth-ranked player in the entire draft. He went 20th. I would have been more than happy with New England taking him at 17. They had the opportunity to. And the two guys that I wanted, Gonzalez or JSN, have both turned out to be phenomenal players. So it's hard for me to really – it's hard to really sit here and argue one or the other. I think there's a real argument that just because you can get, I think, elite receiver play in aggregate – rather than through one player. I think it's harder to manufacture corner play than it is, you know, passing production. But regardless, JSN is an incredible player, and he's the focal point of their offense. The Seahawks, I'm trying to think of the stat. I think in every game JSN scored two or more touchdowns in, maybe, or in every game JSN scored a touchdown in, they averaged like 35 points a game. And obviously at least seven of those in those cases would be from JSN, but otherwise it's like 19 or 20 points a game. So, it's a crazy difference. I think looking at that logically, I think body type wise, I don't know if there's a great matchup for JSN. Part of me wants to put Gonzalez on Rashid Shaheed and say, eliminate Rashid Shaheed deep, right? But at the same time, you could argue that you're wasting Gonzalez's talents by just saying, hey, you know, run with this guy all game. I think you could do that with, you know, they haven't had him for a while, but a guy like Keon Cross, and like you can do that sort of thing with Rashid Shaheed because I don't think his route tree is particularly developed. nonetheless, Gonzalez was one of your fastest corners. So I think you got to be conscious of that. You know, I think I just don't know if there's really a specific matchup for this game. I think, you know, it's really just going to be I don't think you're going to move anyone to cover JSN. Maybe, you know, Gonzalez tries to cover him on third down, but JSN's just such a guy who has such a feel for the game, more so than a guy who has some elite athleticism in terms of speed or size, to the point where I'm not sure you're moving your corners around and trying to match up. So I think you're probably just going to play guys straight up. The matchup I actually have the most fear of, instead of JSN over anyone in particular, would actually be Carlton Davis on Rashid Shaheed, because I don't think Davis has close to the speed Rashid does. And Rashid Shaheed might go for 150 yards on Carlton Davis if they don't put safety help over the top, and they will. But yeah, I think the PIs and whatnot with him are a legitimate concern. So part of me would like, as I said before, to just put Gonzalez on Shaheed. As far as the rest of Seattle's offense goes, I think their O-line is solid. It's not elite, but it's a very solid line. You know, Bradford, I think, became a little bit of a meme during the season, but he's played a lot better in the latter half of the year. Gray Zabel's legit. Charles Cross had some injury stuff this week, but I still think he's a good player. I think, you know, let me take a look at this. Take a look at this injury report to make sure I'm right on this. I'm pretty sure Charles Cross had to deal with some injury stuff. Yeah, he had a foot injury, didn't play on Friday. Once again, though, I think obviously the weekend plays a role. And then also, of course, just the fact that it's a Super Bowl, I don't think guys are going to be, you know, missing games. But regardless, Abraham Lucas on the other side is a good tackle. You know, his name's Blake Sundell, right? Let me make sure. Blake Sundell. Am I right about this? Sundell. Jalen Sundell. Okay. Yeah, I think he's a decent enough center. I do think I saw a TikTok about this earlier, so real, you know, legit news source there, but basically saying the trenches are going to be where the game is won and lost. You could argue that for every game, but, you know, they were talking about how the Patriots defensive line is so much better than the Seattle offensive line and vice versa. And yeah, I think defensively, the only other piece that we talked about a little bit with him on the QB sneaks, but Adria Barner, you know, as that tight end threat. The other two guys on that Seattle offense, receiver-wise, that I guess you got to look out for would be Cooper Kupp, who had a nice previous game, but isn't a guy at this point that you look at as anything more than really experience in these sort of games. So I actually think you could see a really nice performance from Cooper Kupp tonight, or this weekend. And then the other guy would be Jake Bobo, who, not elite in the speed department, but finds a way, I feel like, every time you're turning on red zone to make a big play, whether that's just a nice catch for a first down or getting in the end zone. So they like those guys. I think that, you know, defensively, when you look at the Seahawks, their defensive line is what really stands out. Byron Murphy, Leonard Williams, really, really good pair of interior players there. DeMarcus Lawrence off the edge is, you know, definitely aging. I think they're probably in the draft this year. Like I put in my mock draft recently, I had them taking Zion Young from Missouri. I think, you know, they're going to be looking to continue to add there. But for now, they've got, you know, Uchenna Nwosu, DeMarcus Lawrence. They got Boye Mafe too in there, who's a pending free agent now. Derek Hall in there too, another former second rounder. So you've definitely, you know, invested on the edge, and that defensive line has paid some major dividends for you. You know, at the second level, Drake Thomas is a really solid linebacker next to Ernest Jones, who's one of the league's best. That guy, you know, originally a Rams pick, got shipped to Tennessee. Then a couple weeks after settling himself in Tennessee, he gets shipped right back to the NFC West and goes to Seattle. So, you know, he's been really, really good for them. And then the defensive backfield's also legit. They have the best, might have the best slot corner in football, in Devin Witherspoon. I think it's him. I think it's Marcus Jones. I think it's Trent McDuffie. On the outside, Josh Jobe, Connecticut high school football player right there. Really solid. You know, Tariq Woolen. You know, Patriots might get bailed out with a taunting call or two from him. Or maybe Mike McDonald just says, absolutely not. We're not doing that. You know, I don't know. We'll see. Tariq Woolen, obviously elite athlete, really long. Kind of actually sort of the player I was hoping Miles Battle would turn into. I guess he still has a little bit of time, but, you know, the time's definitely waning. You know, beyond those guys, I think you look at it and you say, hey, you know, we've got Kobe Bryant deep, former corner who's turned into a really good safety, won the Thorpe in college, over his collegiate teammate, Sauce Gardner. You know, Julian Love's also a really solid player back there. Ty Okada, good player. So they're just really deep defensively. There's a reason that it's amazing because, you know, they've got some studs, right? You've got Ernest Jones, you've got Devin Witherspoon, of course, Nick Amonwari, one of the league's best at that sort of star safety position where he comes down to the box. He can play corner. He can play linebacker. They line him up on the D-line, drop him into coverage. They do so much stuff with him. You know, blocking kicks, blocking field goals, blocking everything on special teams, too. He's a phenomenal athlete. You know, I think you look at one of those sort of games and you or one of these sort of games and you say, hey, you know, how can we get the best of the Seattle defense? What are their holes? And I think that for as good as their, you know, defense is, I think that the lack of individual elite edge rushers helps you a little bit. Nwosu's a very good player. DeMarcus Lawrence, a very good player, but they're not Will Anderson, Daniil Hunter, right? So I do think that Will Campbell, hopefully anyway, will look a little bit better than he has over the past couple games playing these guys like Nick Benito, Daniil Hunter, you know, Will Anderson. Now, he did really struggle against Adafe Owe, too, who's a good player to his credit. He might get tagged. Wrote an article about that recently, but, you know, he's no, I think he's no different than, you know, Nwuchenna Nwosu in terms of how good they are at this point. So, yeah, I think, you know, you gotta keep it. You gotta keep their defensive line contained, but specifically on the edge, I'm hoping that you have a little bit. You get a little bit more of a break than you've gotten over the past 2 weeks, in particular. There's not much to expose there, in all honesty. I think, like even guys like Drake Thomas, like coming out of the woodwork to just be really good linebackers for them. There's not a whole lot there. As far as exposing them defensively goes, I think it's going to have to be a poor game from Sam Darnold. If Darnold plays well, I think he probably wins the Super Bowl MVP, and he probably doesn't have much of an issue taking down New England by probably two or three scores. If Darnold looks like he did against the Jets and the Patriots are able to shut down JSN, I think you feel really, really good. So, yeah, it'll be an entertaining game, I think. It's tough because I was talking about this with one of my buddies the other day. It's just a little bit tough because you look at it, last game, AFC Championship, there's no way I don't think that I could have been happy at the end of that game. I was talking about this with Dad too, just because the expectation was so heavily, hey, the Patriots are going to win this game, Patriots are going to win this game, Patriots are going to win this game. If they lose, it's going to be an embarrassment. Patriots are going to win this game. You're playing a backup. Now it's like, my full expectation is New England loses. I'm a pretty big homer for New England. The only way I think you win this game is if Sam Darnold looks awful. And if he does, which is not out of the question at all, then I think you won't have much issue. But otherwise, you know, you're putting yourself in a tough spot otherwise. So it'll be interesting. I'll be curious to see exactly what, you know, what things that turn out to look like. Part of me thinks that, you know, part of me does kind of think that, Darnold isn't going to – I just can't imagine. This is the quarterback of my childhood that sucked year after year after year. He's 0-4 against New England. He has one touchdown to 9 picks in his 4 games against New England in his career, 3 of them with the Jets, and then one when they went down to Carolina. It looked like he had a couple good games going there, and, you know, the J.C. Jackson pick 6 in that game when the announcer called him Justin Bethel. Probably a little too niche for people, but, you know, I don't know. It's just, it is really tough for me to imagine Sam Darnold winning Super Bowl MVP and being this, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback, because I think more often than not, obviously, when you have a Super Bowl winning team, the quarterback is the first guy, you know, in line for that MVP. But in the last Patriots Super Bowl, it was Julian Edelman. So, yeah, part of me actually wouldn't be overly surprised to see a very similar game to that, where it's like 13-3, 10-3, 9-3, you know. Probably wouldn't go as far to say 6-3, but that sort of thing where it's just, hey, teams are going to work their way down the field. There's going to be sacks. There's going to be turnovers. There's going to be punts. It's going to look terrible. And at the end, a joint, you know, 30 points are scored between the two teams, and it's, you know, 17-13. You know, 20 points are scored between the teams. It's, you know, I don't know what that would be. Less than 20 points, and it's 10-13. You know, it's not out of the question to me. I think this is going to be a highly defensive game. At least highly defensive-centric. I shouldn't say that necessarily means there won't be any points. Because I could see a reality like where the Seattle is throwing it up the score, and you know, it doesn't look so good. So it'll be very interesting to see how it all works out. My prediction is that, you know, New England is going to find a way to win this one. I'm gonna give my real prediction. I'm gonna give my homer prediction. My real prediction is New England's gonna. My homer prediction is that New England is going to lose this one, 30-15. It'll be a weird score in there. My homer prediction: New England wins this one, 13-6, and is a super defensive game. Fingers crossed. This is going to have to be a shorter episode, unfortunately. I got to zip, but It's been a really, really fun season. There's no doubt about that. It's been really, really fun. Obviously, we'll have me and Thad's show tomorrow, where we can talk more in depth about the Super Bowl. That'll be the focus of tomorrow. And it's really exciting. I'm probably gonna move to twice a week come the off season, just because I love the off season. There's so much to talk about. So super exciting stuff. For the last time before New England is hopefully crowned Super Bowl champion for the 7th time. This is Graham. Graham Talks Pats. Go Pats. Yeah. This would be crazy. It's nuts. First Super Bowl potential without Brady, without Belichick. Here we go. Graham Talks Pats. Go Pats.